To support this podcast, go to PositiveSarcasm.com/donate. Any amount is appreciated. Once again, PositiveSarcasm.com/donate. Thank you and enjoy the program. Welcome to the show. Jay here, PositiveSarcasm.com. Recorded here from the Spare Parts Studios. Like, subscribe, share, donate. PositiveSarcasm.com/donate. Any amount is appreciated. The affiliate links are in the description down below. You can reach me, positivesarcasm@outlook.com, or you can just go to the contact page on my website. If you have any questions, concerns, comments, or requests, you can go ahead and hit me up there. But positivesarcasm@outlook.com, if you're looking for posing music, if you're looking for audio or video editing, there you go. Just go ahead and send it in to positivesarcasm@outlook.com. Leave your standard request, of course, in the subject title. I check the junk mail, don't worry. Stuff falls in there all the time. Anyways, let's get to the plot of this week's podcast. We got some dig.com Q&A. And I did want to start off by officially, I am sore, mildly uncomfortable, and quite satisfied. So my whole journey for the past 3 months of doing all these things that I set out to do has essentially come to... It's come to its conclusion of its first stage. Working on my jawline, my health, my wellness, my mental clarity, everything that we talked about since the very beginning, as part of this more therapeutic version of this podcast, has come out great. And I ran my first 5K. Now, I run 3 miles every Monday with the Sum Beer Company. And this was my first. I missed the Hampton one, which sucks, but I did the Dover one, and I finished. I didn't walk. It was more difficult than I expected, but I did it. I did it, and not only did I do it. After I finished the 5K, about 10 minutes later, I was in the car and I went and did 12 rounds at my gym. Finished that, which was about another 1,000 calories on top of that. And then I just went on with the rest of my day. Went for walks, you know, shopping, everything. And then here's Monday. I'm back at the Sun Beer Company again. Running another 3 miles. So it's like I'm at a new level of mental capability, physical capability, my endurance, my durability. It's all different. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. 5Ks, they are tough. They're tough if you've only been doing them for a few months, if you're out of shape, if you're going through a lot. But on top of everything else that I have subjected myself to as far as trying to turn myself around, the 5K was definitely the pinnacle of just, all right, where are we at? Are you actually going to do this thing that you said you were going to do? And are you going to do more? And the answer is yes. But I'll be honest with you. So everything looked pretty flat. It looked like just another, I knew Dover was going to be difficult because it's a very up and down type of town. And definitely has some hills. There's a lot of terrain that'll sneak up on you. But, oh man, everything looked flat. And then I rounded that corner. I was going downhill. I remember I was going downhill. And we make a left turn. And then I make that right. And I look up. And I see this tsunami, the perfect storm type of hill. And I literally said to myself in my head, I'm going to fucking die. And I almost did. I saw that hill and almost gassed out right there at that first hill. But I said I was going to run a 5K, and I did. There was another aggressive hill that was a little longer but a little less angled that almost took me out for good. I almost did that stutter step where I decided I was going to walk, but I didn't. And I officially ran the entire 5K. And it was great. Through all the other physical activities that I put myself through, I mean, I know there are other people that they can run 5 miles, 10 miles, 12 miles, half marathons every single day. They're getting ready for the Boston Marathon. They're trying to get their qualifiers in, blah, blah, blah. Great. Good for you. That's not my build. I'm a former amateur natural bodybuilder who does boxing, who does like HIIT cardio boxing and fitness and weightlifting, and has a different nutrition level. I'm a different person. I'm not a long distance runner. But by adding that to my repertoire, it's worked. It has worked. And on top of all that, so that has been officially, I did not stray from that. I still do it. It feels good to, that is definitely pushing yourself, running 3 miles for sure. On top of all of that, and successfully completing my first 5K of the year, there's a few more on the horizon. I'm also possibly set up to be a kayaking assistant in a South Portland water race. And also, I have been able to sleep soundly, with the exception of getting up to pee. It's typical of a 40-year-old male. I've been able to sleep all the way through the night without the need for any medications, which I never went through. But as far as like supplementation, chamomile tea, forehead ice packs, edibles, I have been able to sleep quite well without the assistance of any of it. Now, I've actually originally decided to taper from my original dosage, which was 10 milligrams of indica, and drop it down to 5. And that actually helped in a different way, because that 10 milligrams gave me a mild grogginess in the morning, which intersected with the coffee that I was taking in. But that 5 milligram dosage, I don't get that grogginess in the morning. And that has given me a pace where I fall asleep very soundly now, and there's no hangover in the morning, and it feels amazing. So I will probably stick with that because I like the idea of not compromising my sleep at all. So I'll continue with it until I'm like 100% sure I don't need it. But I'll be honest with you, I do enjoy that 5 milligrams just to ease into it a little better. I also have to admit that my bed completely sucks, and it's only 2 years old. I just bought this bed and I already don't like it.
I don't like it.
But I've done that, and I'm gearing back up to continue to learn my foreign language courses. My body weight was going up a little higher. But with the assistance of creatine and of course heavy carbohydrates, but now we're starting to come back down. I was almost touching 179 at 1.180, but now we're down to 176. Still have the creatine going in my system. Switching officially over to a majority carnivorous diet. And I think that's going to end. Now my body is starting to understand that switch is being made and will adjust accordingly. And quite frankly, I look good. I look good, with the exception right now of having sore ankles, sore calves, sore quads, sore lower back, just sore everything that you'd expect from running a 5K. I feel great. I feel great. And physically, mentally, I'm a different person. I'm a different person. It's amazing what you can accomplish in a short period of time when you really, really dig in and understand what you need to do just to be better. The things that you can shed so quickly. Just by understanding what you were capable of. I attacked. And I was like, how much can I bite off before I'm not able to chew? And I have reached a level where I now am starting to plateau at my understanding of things. Excuse me. I was supposed to do this on a Sunday, but I got home late. So I'm doing this on a Monday night. And I feel like right now at this very moment, I feel awesome. I feel super relaxed. The fact that I could just lay down right now with Chase and just go to sleep, it's an amazing feeling. It's an amazing feeling. And I would not trade my life right now for any other moment in my life at all. This is going to be a great year for me. Obviously, I got off to a very aggressive start, and I do have some things that I need to clean up, but that's nothing about a month or two of discipline won't take care of, that's it. So I feel good, and I want to let you guys know that when I'm reading these questions on the internets there, that this is from the person that's answering them, me. Yes, granted, this is for entertainment purposes only, but this is somebody who's gone through it, who's put in the effort to really get a better understanding of themselves, what makes them truly fulfilled and happy, and in the mood to pursue meaning, and just is organized, and it's awesome. It's awesome, and I would like to spread that feeling, that ability, to you folks, and answer questions. I mean, these questions are weird a lot of the times, but people can relate in some way, shape, or form. So we should definitely get into them. I've already just did a quick intro, 10 minutes. Just, you know, ran my 5K. I feel great. Edibles are not needed as much as they used to be. Mental health is a complete turnaround. And now we're changing our diet to a summer diet. So I look forward to dropping another 3-4 pounds. And I think we're going to be good. If I drop another 3-4 pounds with creatine in me, ooh, I'm going to look like a rock star without the cocaine. So, let's spend the next 25 minutes doing some Q&A. If you have any questions, concerns, or comments, go ahead and hit me by my website, positivesarcasm.com. And also, check out the affiliate links. I got some good fitness ones out there right now. And now I think is a decent time to buy if you're going to get into the stock market, because there's a bit of a correction going on. So you might be able to save yourself a few bucks on stocks like maybe, you know, SoFi or PSEC. Go ahead and look into that and build your portfolio. I also found a picture of me. This is one with actually my license plate of my dad's old Camaro. And I actually was not a Red Sox fan, so I don't know why I'm wearing all that crap. But it was cool. Like, I actually found a front photo of the Camaro with the license plate. And, ma'am, what I wouldn't give to have that car. Anyways, let's move on to some dig.com Q&A. If you want to submit your own questions, go to my website, positivesarcasm.com, insert the question, and I look forward to reading it on the podcast or in the comment section. That's cool too. Hope you like my new sweater. Let's get after it. Why does it seem like, maybe I should pop these up on the screeny thing. There we go. Alive. Why does it seem like a husband asking his wife for a paternity test is so controversial and seemingly regarded as one of the worst things possible to ask? There are many wrong ways to ask a question, so please assume the question is asked well in advance before pregnancy, and that it is asked gently with space for discussion. The online discourse I read from women seems very unempathetic for this issue. What is the harm in a paternity test, specifically one conducted after birth, where there is no risk to the child? Women basically never have to contend with the scenario that their child they're raising may unknowingly not be theirs. Okay. Just as there are many experiences and situations that women go through that I, as a man, will never have to contend with, but which I am empathetic to. This one particular issue that women do not have to contend with, that men do. Studies vary, but false paternity is about 1 to 3%, which translates to millions of people in America. I do many things to make my partner feel secure. So that she knows something rather than taking it on. You said partner, which means you're not married, I'm guessing. But why? Because why not give a person that level of security if you can? I'm aware I could do a test in secret, but I do not want to keep secrets like that from my partner. Oh, well, that's very kind of you. Why is it regarded as so offensive for me to have fear of mine resolved through a cheap, convenient test? It really has nothing to do with what I think of my partner, who I love, as I've always wanted to be sure of paternity ever since I decided as a teenager that I wanted to be a father someday. So, okay. Have you brought it up to them? Have you brought this concept up that you have some concerns about having a paternity test with them? Does this bother you? Blah, blah, blah. Is it normally requested? No. Especially when you're actually in the relationship and you actually trust your partner. And that trust thing is the whole thing. Is if you request a paternity test when the partner is pregnant, that's a trust issue. That's a whole foundational issue. That's a serious problem. That, yeah. If it's discussed beforehand, think of something to say to them. And go from there. Now, obviously, if you ask for a paternity test, she might ask for a wedding ring. She's kind of got you by the balls, bro. So I would think twice about asking the question. But honestly, you can ask the question. It is a trust thing. But if you're going to offer something, if you are going to request something like that, you should offer something in return. Because if you love them that much, put a ring on it. Let's move on to the next one. It's going to be a good night's rest to me. My wife and I are going to have a baby in 2 months. Congratulations. We are very excited. My mother is very excited too. This will be the first grandchild. The other day, my mother brought up the idea of bringing her dog with her into the delivery room while my wife gives birth. No. We all love the dog and my mom, but this seems bonkers to me. She says it would be great for my newborn baby to get used to the dog. And the dog would be like an emotional support animal for all of us. My wife hates the idea. Not sure how to respond to my mother. We agreed you asked for... I don't think that's... So, that is supposed to be like a germ-free type of room. You know, babies are very susceptible to germs. We don't know the ramifications of that. It's not... I don't think it's the greatest idea. I would steer clear of it. Like, this one's easy to solve for me, I think. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love dogs. You know, Chase goes with me wherever I go. But might not be a sanitary idea to do. You just got to flat out say, no, you can't have the dog in the delivery room where my child is literally going to come out into the world. It's not safe. It's not smart. There's a lot of I don't know what kind of dog it is. I'm sure it's the sweetest dog in the world. It's not worth it. Don't do it. Don't go through with it. Focus on the birth of the child. Nothing else. Let's move on to the next one. One of my friends has fibromyalgia for the past year. It makes me so sad. So I'd like to find alternative treatments and cures to tell her about. She's gotten really annoyed with me for doing this, but I'm only trying to help. Okay. Pretty much solved the equation there. I think she should be doing more willing to listen to what I have to found. She has a doctor, she sees regularly, takes medication, but I don't know why she brushes it off when I give her my advice. Really feeling unappreciated and starting to wonder if she even wants to feel better. Look, people got to do their own thing. You can't force them. You can't force them. You can't keep bringing it up. If they want to take pills, then they can take pills. You bring it up once or twice, they totally let you know that they're not into it. You got to knock it off. You got to say, all right, well, clearly, you know, this isn't your thing. Or just don't say anything. Just leave it be. You don't want to annoy, unless you plan on paying for that place yourself, don't annoy your roommates. Just don't. It's better to not. Yeah. Why is my friend willing to blah, 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 blah. Yeah. What the hell? Like, why are we going this route? Why are we telling them? Yeah, I get it. You probably have your thing, but, yeah, don't do it. Just don't do it. Like, let's see. Fibromyalgia, it makes you sad. I get that. Alternative treatments, sure. You can always... Well, no, you can't. Have you introduced the idea of any of those supplements to them? Because if you have, you're good. You don't have to bring it up again. But at this point... If they're annoyed, then you need to just step off completely and just let them live their lives. And that's pretty much it. Let's move on to the next one. Should I threaten to sue a potential employer to try and negotiate a better job offer? I was given a low ball. Ooh, this one's long. I was given a low ball offer. I said it was far less than my previous total comp, which it was. I asked my nearest salary. That may not cover me. Can I use the threat of legal action to negotiate a better offer? I was laid off. Applied for a job, a bit of a nearby, a hands of work all. The interview process was really fast. Less than a week from ritual submission to the interview, I thought I killed it. My friend on the inside agreed. But the final interview, it took 3 whole weeks to get an offer. Apparently the CFO had to sign off on everything, blah, blah, blah. The initial offer was less than I had been making my previous job. And... oh, okay. And the mistakes I... the mistake of saying it like that... oop, my cushion's coming undone. Oh, no. I gotta get a better chair. Hold on. We're falling apart here. Stand by. Oh, boy. What the fuck? Oh, no.
Hold on. Here we go. I'm trying to get comfy.
There we go. All right, we're good. Sorry. 3, 2, 1. Okay. Whew. I double cushioned. Okay. Can I use the threat of legal action to negotiate a better job offer? I was laid off. I applied for a job at a nearby company a friend works for. The interview process was really fast. Less than a week from my initial submission for the interview, I thought I killed it. My friend on the inside agreed. Before my whole weeks, apparently another CFO had to sign off on everything. Personally, had a big backlog. The initial offer was less than I had been making for my previous job, and I made the mistake of saying it like that. The in-house recruiter asked what I was making, and I am bad at thinking on my feet, so I told her. This job is in the suburb of Philadelphia, and Philadelphia has a wage equity ordinance making it illegal to ask salary history. If you read, okay, so you're getting technical, but if you read the official FAQ, blah, blah, blah. Can I use the threat of legal action to negotiate a better job offer? Yeah, that never works. The recruiter ran off to get a new number based on my history, but I want a higher offer since my last salary lost $10,000 in 2 years for raises not keeping up with my inflation. Also, I have experience now in technology, which my prior blah, blah, blah. I was thinking about saying it. We don't have to get lawyers involved, and let your manager know if you don't ever threaten legal action on a job offer. What is with these people? I don't get it. No, the whole idea is to establish a trusting relationship, a trusting business working relationship with your new office or new job site. Not to threaten to sue them. If you have to threaten to sue the company that you're looking to work for, that's the wrong company. And you're the wrong employee. So, yeah, they're not going to hire you if you do that. They may not hire you now. I don't understand the thinking behind this. Threatening legal, this isn't baseball. You don't take your team to arbitration. Well, in baseball you do, but that's a different set of legalities. You're a high-end talent. That's true in this field, but they don't have to hire you. They don't. They can just make something up saying, we found a better candidate. And you have no rebuttal. Or the position has been removed. And that's it. And they have you in the bag. So you have no recourse here. If you have any questions, concerns, comments, go ahead and hit me up on my website, PositiveSarcasm.com. All the bike shows are basically me in the front lines. So if you have any questions about that stuff, yeah, go ahead and hit me up. It's fun. It's great to have the Mustang back. I can tell you that much. Oh, so good. So nice to just have the feeling to go. I mean, a little hard to explain, but it's pretty awesome. Find me on Instagram, Facebook, and of course, what's the one that I like so much? Can't remember. Anyways, yeah, go ahead and check out those real creamers. Why? I forget. Whatever. Anyways, moving on. All right, cool. I forget what that was for. All right, we're done. I'm starting to pass out here. Anyways, thank you for listening, watching, subscribing. Check out everything that's PS related. Email me directly, positivesarcasm@outlook.com. And then I'll catch you guys all next week. Recorded here for the Spare Parts Studio for entertainment purposes only. This has been a Positive Sarcasm presentation.
you're so special but so insecure. With all the struggles you had to endure, you are alive, caught in the prison. All of your dreams you have buried inside are just a flame that you need to ignite. Wait for the light that hits your prison. Cause you know, before your eyes you need to fall. Cause you know.